All right. All right.
Welcome.
Wow. Don't, if you ever do that again, we're breaking up.
Really?
Don't steal my thing.
Hello, hello, and welcome to one of our recap episodes where we go absolutely cuckoo bananas watching Degrassi The Next Generation from beginning to end. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and join me every other week with Ezra Parter as we watch these characters do whatever it takes and make it through.
Welcome back. This is Cuckoo Bananas! Exclamation point, a Degrassi colon. The Next Generation podcast. I'm your host, Keely Bell, and I'm joined with...
Hi, my name's Ezra Parter, and I'm here to say hi.
Hi. It's been a couple weeks. Last time we recorded was before Thanksgiving, right?
It was, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right before we left town.
Mm-hmm. And then we went to Thanksgiving, and that was fun. Mm-hmm. And then I got COVID, so then we had to spend like 2 weeks away from each other.
Wait, no, that was not fun.
That was not fun.
Yeah.
I finally started testing negative on Friday, this past Friday. We're mm-hmm. recording this on Tuesday.
So we finally got to have a weekend together.
Yes.
Not at my parents' house.
Yes.
For the first time in so long.
Yeah. And yeah, it was the dumbest few days of my life, but it was very relaxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made the most of it.
I downloaded a game on my phone, watched a lot of YouTube video essays.
Mm-hmm.
Was delirious for 4 days straight.
Called me during the day more than you ever have before.
Yeah.
Just to tell me what was happening around you.
Hate talking on the phone, but when I'm in quarantine, gotta do it. What about you, honey? Any updates with you?
Are there? I don't think so.
You had a Herald night last night?
I had a fun Herald night last night, yeah. Yeah, it was fun. I was at a sketch show. We did a sketch slam.
Oh, right.
No, what do we
cage
call it?
Match.
Cage match. We call it cage match.
Sketch slam. That's where you all get on stage and fuck.
That's also what we did for cage match. No, sketch slam was the name of a similar show mm-hmm. pre-COVID,
mm-hmm.
Run by a different team that no longer exists. Mm-hmm. So when we pitched cage match, I was like, yeah, it's like we're bringing back sketch slam.
Mm.
And then now I accidentally call it sketch slam. But yeah, cage match was very fun. We had three great teams competing for the championship belt, and only one could win. Mm-hmm. The other two were obviously ceremonially murdered.
Yeah, makes sense. Who won? It was Anointed Greens.
Trifecta.
Oh, trifecta.
Anointed Greens had a very fun set that we thought might win, mm-hmm. but it did not.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, I wish I could have gone. But that was like the day that I was feeling sick.
Right.
The first day that I was feeling like really sick. And then I was like, what's going on? And then a few days later, I tested positive for COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really wish I could have gone. It seemed so fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
But we're not here to talk about the boring 2 weeks we spent while I had COVID.
Yeah.
We are indeed here to talk about Degrassi The Next Generation.
That's what we're here for, and that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about the show I watched while you were sick, Blue Eyed Samurai, which I could talk about forever.
Right. You start your own podcast about Blue Eyed Samurai and just keep going. I could start a podcast talking all about fucking May December. That I think that movie affected me more than I realized in the moment. I haven't stopped thinking about it.
Such an insane premise.
I mean, it's real life.
Yeah, no, I know, but yeah, I love that they're investigating what it's like to try to empathize with somebody like Mary Kay Letourneau.
Yeah,
very interesting,
insane, yeah. So good, such a good film.
But we're not here to talk about that.
We're here to talk about Degrassi: The Next Generation, season 4, episode 9, Back in Black.
Back in Black.
Is that the song?
I'm pretty sure.
That's Back in Black?
I hope so.
It sounds like the...
No, yeah, it is. Yeah.
NFL music.
And then it's Back in Black!
Wow, I don't think I ever realized that that's what that song is called.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember your prediction?
I for sure don't.
I don't either for some reason. I think it's because it's been a while since I edited. But I think I remember you saying something about how you think it's going to be a Sean story.
Mm-hmm.
And just aftermath of the shooting. You probably guessed something else that was wrong. And then I told you the aftermath of the shooting part is correct.
Yeah,
and
I then remember that happening.
I hinted to you that I think something's going to happen in this episode that you're not going to expect. And do you know what that was by the end?
Manny and Toby?
What?
No. Or, okay, the mom and dad meeting Sean's parents?
Not meeting Sean's parents, but what happens in the end?
Oh, Sean's staying with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in the end, like, when I ask you for where you think the story is going. But I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that. But until then, let's get into the episode. Because it's a fun one. Did you like it?
I mean, it's too early in the episode for me to say one way or the other for sure. But I think, it handled its subject matter well, which is what I like about Degrassi episodes that I like.
Yeah, I really like this episode. Like, it's entertaining. If not anything else, it's so entertaining. Mm-hmm. Like, from the very beginning, we are thrust into the, like, aftermath of the shooting, what it's like for everybody, like, Sean being an absolute menace. Mm-hmm. But, okay. So, we start the episode. Sean and Ellie are going into school. And I don't remember what that reporter's name is, but she's being a bitch and interviewing people at the school, interviewing Mr. Radich and stuff. And they're all trying to be, like, as, like, you know, political as possible about it, being like, oh, this was a tragedy, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, okay, well, we're not getting any interesting, fun things from this motherfucker. Hey, the kid who killed the guy, Sean, talk to us. You're a hero. And Sean's like, what? And she's like, everybody thinks you're a hero. And then she, like, puts the mic in his face and he looks around and he sees that all the students are, like, staring at him.
But it's not all the students. It's all the girls.
Girls,
all the blonde girls, specifically.
Yeah. And she's like, what does it feel like to be a hero? And he's like, I think I'm about to find out. And when that happened, what was your think? Where did you think the episode was going
to
go?
When that happened, I think I turned to you and I was like, what was my prediction? Because if it wasn't Sean leaves Ellie for a bunch of hot girls,
Sean gets bitches.
Sean gets bitches for killing a guy.
Imagine if that were like, if that were the case, like the kid in your school who fought off a school shooter and all the girls want to like fuck him. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
I mean, hey, heroes get heroes, you know?
Heroes get heroes.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that, honey?
Well, it's like, I mean, if you think about it, like,
I know exactly what you're gonna say.
Well, just say it.
Hero like the sandwich, and it's like a vagina.
Wow, I wish that was where I was going.
Oh, dang.
No, my thought was way worse. I'm like, it's like, the school is just full of his 72 virgins, you know?
Oh, my God. No, that's better than what I was going to say.
But I mean, look, like somebody who steps up and saves the day and shows that they can like take a bullet for their classmate. That's the kind of thing that gets pussies wet. What am I supposed to say?
Sean didn't take the bullet. Rick took the bullet.
He was gonna.
Yeah. But then the credits happen, and then we're in the grade 11 support meeting, where Paige is talking about how she feels helpless. She's like, "What if Jimmy never recovers?" Blah blah blah. And Hazel has no lines in this episode, but she's crying a lot.
Yeah, she's really letting the waterworks go, which I think makes sense. Obviously. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's strange that they're like, let's focus on the grief of the people most affected. Not
Hazel.
Not you,
yeah.
Hazel. You don't need to talk.
Paige needs to talk. We get to get a few longing looks at Spinner, but Hazel gets no lines.
Marco gets to talk.
Which, like, he had no relation to this whatsoever. Yeah. We didn't even hear anything from Ashley. Maybe that's the point of the episode, is, like, we're focusing more on the tertiary, like,
well,
characters aside from the people who are like directly affected, Toby and Sean.
Yeah.
And then on the outside they're like, oh well, we know how Hazel feels, we know how Spinner feels, what about the characters who don't really have as much stake?
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I think it does.
And
make
I imagine
sense.
That there's going to be Hazel and Spinner dealing with Jimmy stuff in the next couple episodes.
Definitely
Yeah.
We go to them, and then they're, that scene is just establishing that there's a support meeting going on. Mm-hmm. Then we go to media immersion, where Snake is coaching his class through grief. And I'm like, what class is this? It has Toby and Craig. Is it like a grade 7 media immersion class and Craig is like the TA or something?
Maybe Craig was held back.
I just said
immersion.
Grade 7. I meant grade 10. These guys are in grade 10.
Oh, okay.
But what were you saying?
Maybe, yeah, Craig maybe was like held back in media immersion.
Or Toby is...
Toby is up a class.
Advanced in media immersion.
That would make sense, too.
That would make sense. I think that might be it.
Toby's a hacker. So.
But like Toby, as we've seen, is in Emma's media. It's the continuity is bad. The continuity is bad.
They just needed to put Craig somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So Craig is in there and Snake is guiding the kids through grief.
Oh, you know what? Maybe the like Home circle room? Of grade 11s was like those who wanted to go to the circle, and then those who were not were just like dispersed among the school.
That's definitely something I could see happening.
Yeah,
like high school is like that, where it's like if something's going on, kids can just kind of roam.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Craig was like, I don't fucking want to go to this little circle. I have found my friend dying on the floor. I need to go talk to guy who I think is cool, Snake. And so Snake is walking.
Yeah, no, Craig is directly affected, too. He should be in the circle.
Yeah, that's he should crazy. Be, but we wouldn't hear anything if he was.
Yeah.
So, so then we're Snake is walking his students through their grief as well. And he's like, labeling Rick a monster isn't going to really do anything. We need to focus on how we feel. Mm-hmm. And Toby points out that Rick was horribly bullied. And then Craig is like, Toby, are you really making him the victim right now? And Toby's like, of course not. But like, you need to understand that he had feelings and reasons for why he did what he did. And Snake is being once again very political, democratic about it all. And is like, yeah, like, have you ever felt that desperate? If you ever feel that desperate, you need to talk to someone. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Right.
And then Toby's like, what if they don't listen? And Snake's like, yeah, right? I fucking know.
Yeah, like that's what
will.
I love
Try
about
somebody
Snake.
Else.
Yeah, that's what I love about Snake is that we can tell how often he is being forced to do what he's doing through the education system, but we know his thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. That's, I think, something so special about the show, and it probably is because most of our adults are former students themselves, so like the writers feel connected to their emotions, whereas in other teen shows the adults are just the adults,
right?
Where it's like they don't you don't the writers don't connect to their feelings. Those adults serve a role of just being the authority figures in the classroom or wherever they are,
and you never get an incredible moment like in the detention episode when Principal Radich is bouncing on the ball in the
exactly,
gym.
Exactly. Exactly. We never get to see teachers be, you know, nuanced idiots. Individuals. We never get to see the nuances, the intricacies of being a teacher. We only see them be teachers. We never get to see them bouncing on big balls and exercising in the gym. We never get to see them having complex feelings about school shooters. Like,
that's right.
Those are the same thing. it's my favorite part. And like the fact that like I haven't seen this episode in a really long time, but I knew the second, like as soon as she walked in, I was like, oh right, if this is the Sean.
Yeah.
You saved my life.
You said it exactly how she was about to say it right before she said it. It was perfect.
You saved my life. I love her. This truly is Emma's Menace era. I love this whole episode. Like you can like this Emma's such a white woman because there have a child is dead. Another child has lost his legs. He didn't lose his legs.
They are missing.
Another child is paralyzed.
He is in the hospital searching for his legs.
And Emma had a gun pointed at her. Sure, that's a very, very scary situation to have been in. But she is the most she's feeling for everyone.
Yeah.
She's taking on the grief of everybody who was involved and being like, this is my cross to bear. I can't, Sean saved my life. I can't, everyone's looking at me. No one's looking at you, bitch.
I mean, they might be, though. In her defense, like, she did have a gun pointed at her.
Who are you looking at?
And I say, like, you're my jilted. You're like, you jilted me, ex-lover. Obviously, he's wrong. But
right.
Still, like, her life was. I can understand her being traumatized by all that.
Yes,
sure.
She's definitely. I understand her being traumatized. Yeah. 100%. But, okay, if you're in this, if you're a kid in the school who had no involvement in the shooting, mm-hmm. right? And you heard that there was a kid who was the shooter's friend.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kid who killed the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
There was a kid who got shot by the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a girl who had a gun pointed at her. Which one are you looking at?
All of them.
I'm looking at the guy who saved everybody's lives. And
oh, yeah.
Most likely the guy who was the friend.
No, yeah. And that's
I'm not looking at Emma.
Yeah, yeah. And that's, I mean, for sure, it's Sean. For sure. And that's kind of like why this moment works so well, because it's like Sean is like, okay, yeah, but this shit's not about you. It's about
yes, exactly. I love Emma. She's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, though, like people are so mean to Emma, and I will be an Emma defender till I die. She's so good. so then we go. Sean is leaving school or something. And the journalist comes up to him, and she's like still trying to interview him. And he's like, leave me alone. And Ellie and she's like, oh, your mom would have something different to say or something like that.
Your mom was willing to talk to me.
Yes. And he's like, what? And she's like, I interviewed her. Do you want to see, essentially?
Mm-hmm.
And so then he and Ellie go to the van and watch the tape of Sean's mom crying to the reporters about how she can't imagine what would have happened if Sean had been taken from her in that moment.
And
blah,
she
blah,
never
blah.
Got to see him again.
And she never got to see him again. And Sean, and so we don't see what Sean's reaction is initially to this,
mm-hmm.
but then we go outside of the van and Emma's looking for him. She goes up to Jay, and not gonna lie, that little interaction was kind of flirty.
I thought
right?
so too, yeah.
Right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, kind of flirty, because he was like, oh, don't worry. What do you call it? Greenpeace?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, don't worry, Greenpeace. I'm just running the battery. No pollution here, because he was playing the radio on his car.
Yeah.
And she was like, noise pollution. But anyway. Oh!
And then he's like, yeah, Sean's in the van talking to the reporter. And Emma's like, what?
He's talking to her?
He's talking to her?
And then... go.
And then... from inside the van, Ko's flying the very computer monitor that he was watching the interview on, and it crashes onto the ground, and he pops out, and he's like, I'm out of here!
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, he's not talking to her. He's breaking her shit.
Yeah, he's destroying her van. And then the reporter comes out, and she just gives the most, like,
what
look.
What? my computer.
Yeah. And he gets in Jay's car, and
not just that, he's like, we're going, I'm driving.
Yeah.
And Jay's like, oh shit, okay.
I yeah, guess, okay,
yeah, I guess
all
you're
right.
driving my car.
Yeah. And he looks at, and Ellie gets in the car, and then Sean looks at Emma, and he's like, Emma, you coming? And Emma's like, ooh, danger. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. And so then she gets in the car. so then they are, and then Jay asks where they're headed, and Sean says, Wasega Beach, home.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think he needed to say home. I feel like he wouldn't have said that in life, but for the viewer,
yeah,
they needed to, I guess, put that there.
Yeah, because I didn't know what he was talking about.
He could have just, I honestly think, we didn't even have to say Wasega Beach. He could have just said, like, we'll see when we get there, or like mm-hmm. something cryptic, and then once we get there, it's, oh, this is where his parents
yeah that
like,
would have been fine
we
yeah.
didn't need
just like the beach
yeah. yeah yes that would have actually been really good, because it's yeah. like, oh, we think they're about to have a fun beach day, but then it's like he goes to the beach that is his home
yeah
and then sees his parents like yeah. that yeah we really didn't need him to say Wasega Beach period home period
where my mom and dad are
yeah where my mom and dad live in a trailer
period where my biggest childhood trauma was
yeah. So then we go to our B plot, where Toby is trying to talk to JT and Danny while they're playing basketball. I have a question for you as a JT stan.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about his new style?
Oh, it's terrible.
It's awful, right?
Yeah,
I hate it. I don't know what they're trying to do. We are entering a moment in time Where I think the writers are shifting JT a bit. I'm noticing this for the first time. Mm. He is the same guy. Like, he's still a funny, like, he will never,
He wasn't funny today.
Yeah. But, like, yeah, I think he warranted. But, he will never not be the JT we fell in love with. His character is pretty consistent throughout.
Okay, good.
But I think his social standing gets a tweak in these. In this season, because like we had seasons where JT was like a dweeb who was trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And this, and whatever his style is and what I know he will be involved in within the next few seasons, mm-hmm. feels like he's leaning into the dweebiness. Like he has fully given up on trying to be popular, which is crazy to me.
Well, I think he like peaked in a way where he dated Manny.
Right.
And then that
he peaked.
No. I mean, like his, what popularity could do for him, mm-hmm. he reached the pinnacle of it and it didn't work out. And he was like, well, that's not worth it.
Right. That makes sense. That does make sense. Yeah. He's like, well, might as well hang out with a Niner and wear a giant sweater vest.
No, it's like, might as well just like hang out where I'm valued and do the things that I like and not worry about trying to be cool because I already couldn't fuck Manny.
Right. So true. That makes sense. You're 100% correct. But yeah, Toby comes up to them and JT and Danny are giving him the cold shoulder. Mm-hmm. And Toby's like, ugh, like, come on, guys. And they're like, and honestly, like what surprised me was Toby says, like, JT says, like, you were his friend. And Toby's like, okay, well, I didn't know he was going to bring a gun to school. And JT's like, sure. Like, you really think that your best friend would let Rick do that? Like,
no, but I think from the beginning of JT and Toby being friends, or Toby and Rick being friends, JT was like, dude, that guy, don't fucking be friends with that guy, he's a he's trouble.
Right.
And then now JT's like, I could feel bad for you, but also I fucking told you, man.
Yeah, I told you so.
Yeah. Everybody was saying that guy sucks and you chose to go with that guy, it's your bad.
Not
my bad.
So true. So then the gang get to Wasega. And Sean pulls up to his parents' trailer. And Jay's, okay, I want to know where Jay fucking lives. Because he goes, is this a house or a shoebox?
He said lunchbox.
Lunchbox. Is this a house or a lunchbox? Dude, I want to know where you live.
Yeah, but I will say that's the funniest delivery he's ever had on any line.
Sure.
He may be 40 years old, but that time he was hilarious.
When I'm doing 25 Days of a Christmas Carol on my TikTok account. And when I was looking up the Degrassi Christmas Carol mini, there is a mini that is done. So I believe they start doing the minis in season 5.
Okay.
And there's a mini from season 5 that's Jay. And it is so funny. I probably could show it to you because it doesn't have any spoilers in it. Mm. But it's like a parody of like an early 2000s kind of like MTV style like PSA.
Okay.
Where he's like talking to the camera and there's like a lot of different cuts and he's like repeating the same words. It is so funny. And honestly, what's his name? Mike Lobel, who plays Jay, is one of the most talented actors on the show because he is so funny and also he can deliver serious stuff as well. Mm. But yeah, he's a wonderful actor and I'm excited for you to see him get to do what he gets to do.
Okay.
But so then Sean goes up to his parents' trailer and he knocks on the screen, and his mom comes out and she's like, Sean. And he's like, hey, whoa. Don't try all grieving mother bullshit. You kicked me out of your house. Don't pretend like you care about me.
Spot on.
Yeah.
Perfect impression.
Yeah. And then she's like, but I and he's like, no, nope. I'm
like,
leaving.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And she just goes back inside.
Yeah.
Okay,
she stands down and goes back inside. Yeah. I'm interested. Like, I don't know if it's an inconsistency of Sean's backstory or if it's like where you just keep adding things on. Mm. But it's like, last I heard, his parents were drunks.
Yeah.
And then now it's, oh, you kicked me out of your house. Like, where is this all could be true at once. I would just like a cohesive version of the story to beginning, middle, and end so that I know exactly what Sean went through.
Yeah, definitely the story that was painted of his parents mm-hmm. before was that, like, if we ever met them, they'd be, like, mostly passed out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
They seem like very lovely old Republicans.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, like, yeah, you don't want to hang around with old Republicans, but at the same time, like, they're fine.
Yeah. Like, they're probably, like, apparently fucking Alberta is the Bible Belt of California, of Canada.
Yeah.
They seem like Alberta people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're
yeah,
like,
tracks.
And they're like, oh, we definitely support Donald Trump.
Yeah. Oh, those are Trump supporters.
They are 100% sure. Trump supporters. But
even though Trump would be like, your shithole country.
Yeah. They'd be like, he can give us money. We can make money with under his power. Justin Trudeau should be kinder to him. but yeah, like they seem like normal people relatively. They don't seem like they are so succumbed to the throes of addiction that
right.
their life has been that Sean's life had to be uprooted. Like, I'm so curious, like, what was the exact
yeah
path
I mean what we
how
we,
he ended up with Tracker.
Yeah, what we find out in this episode is that he, like, deafened a kid.
Well, we knew that.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay, I forgot.
Yeah.
But he, like, deafened a kid, and he was on track to go to jail, according yeah. to his mother.
Yeah, and so she sent him to Toronto, I guess, to give him a fresh start.
Yeah,
makes sense. So after he leaves his parents, they go to the beach and they're burying Ellie and Emma in the sand. Mm-hmm. I like Emma hanging out with Ellie. Like, I understand that they both are in love with the same boy. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, like, Emma's clearly in love with Sean in this
oh,
episode.
Oh, yeah.
But I think we could have had them be friends. I think they're cool. They're cool together. And then we don't get to see them be together very often. They're being buried in the sand. And they see Tyler, who is the boy that Sean deafened in one ear, mm-hmm. On a jet ski, which I kept calling a water bike because I could not remember what it was called.
And I couldn't come up with jet ski. I just kept saying Sea-Doo.
I was like, what is that?
That's branding.
Yeah.
The Sea-Doo people got me.
It's like a Kleenex, but for jet skis.
I think jet ski is the Kleenex of it.
Really?
I think so.
Really?
And Sea-Doo is like the competing brand. And then the actual name of them is water bike. No.
And so yeah, they see Tyler and Sean is like, yeah, that's the kid. And Jay, crazy, is like, well, he's the reason why you had to uproot your life and go to Toronto. Sounds like he owes you. Jason.
Yeah, no, it wasn't quite that. It was, he's the reason why you had to uproot your life and go to Toronto. And, like, he probably got a huge settlement.
Yeah, yeah.
He should be thanking you.
Jason, a boy has lost his hearing. I think that's so, like, Jay is the reason Jimmy got shot and lost his the ability to walk.
Yeah.
And now he's just like, oh, dude, this is just a part of life. Yeah. You sometimes like, you disable people and it's okay.
That's true. Maybe that was Jay groping with his own grief.
Yeah. He's looking at this kid like, yeah, Sean's okay. I can be okay. Yeah. Jimmy's gonna owe me.
When Jimmy gets paid out for whatever the fuck happens to him, he's gonna owe me some of that cash.
Yeah. So then we go back to school, and Toby is looking at Jimmy's altar. It's not the right word. The
memorial.
That's he's alive.
Oh right.
Table
of well wishes.
Yeah, like everybody has put stuff on Jimmy's locker too.
Yeah.
Will him to be better. Mm-hmm. And he's looking, having complex emotions. That's really all Toby does in these last two episodes is walk around and have complex emotions. And Manny comes up behind him and she's like, hey. And he's like, hey, my friends hate me and I don't know what to fucking do. And she's like,
yeah, he's like, look at all these people writing cards for Jimmy who didn't even know him. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. my friends won't even talk to me.
Right, right. Yeah. And Manny's like, what, JT? And he's like, yeah, JT. And she's like, well, maybe, you know, things will be better. What does she say? She says something like, she touches him on the shoulder.
She just gives him comfort. It's nothing like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember the words, but it was nothing like mind blowing.
Right. Like, she comforts him. Mm-hmm. And so then Sean and Jay go to rent a jet ski. And
and that's where the kid Tyler works.
Tyler works at the like jet ski stand or whatever, the kiosk where you rent. And Jay is an asshole, ignorant, but like what's the ableist, ableist asshole. He goes up and he's like, how much does it cost to rent one of these things? And then he like mimics a deaf person speaking.
Yeah. Pretty awful.
Pretty awful. Like.
He went full Trump on that one.
Yeah, really. And Tyler. And as soon as he does that, Tyler. Because like the tension is palpable as soon as Jay and Sean walk up. Because Tyler
Sees Sean and he wants to beat his ass. And then
immediately.
Jay makes fun of him. And yeah, he goes after
Sean. He's like, and then he goes and shoves Sean against the wall. And then he says, you deafen me and you kill another kid? Is this just what you do? This is your tour of destruction, Jonathan?
He also says, you sucker punched me. Mm-hmm. You're going to sucker punch my other ear? Deafen me in both? And that's not the version of the story Sean's been telling.
Right. And so I think what the story is that, because you were asking, like, is Tyler a bully or is he not?
Right.
And I think what the story is Tyler, yes, was a bully, but like, not in a way that he was disproportionately in power over Sean in any way. Like they were probably like how Sean and Jimmy were like adversaries.
Yeah, that makes
for
sense.
A while there.
Yeah,
they seemed like adversaries, and Sean took it too far and got too angry.
Yeah,
one wrong move, deafened him in the ear.
Yeah,
and so like. It's really just it's not a Rick situation where like he was being bullied and then Rick, you know, took it out on him. It was more of like Sean and this kid had beef. Sean did one wrong thing and now this kid's life is forever changed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so it is really like there is nobody in the wrong and there is nobody really in the right because as Tyler admits at the end of his little rant, he was trying to take Sean's lunch money. So
yeah, the rant was so confusing because it was like, you sucker punched me. And guess what, man? I'm going to give you a free Sea-Doo ride because it's not like I'm going to take your lunch money again.
Right.
It was like, wait, hold on.
What? Why did he give him the ride for free?
Do you feel guilty, actually?
I don't know. I think what that maybe was like.
He was calling him poor.
Yes, he was calling him poor and then also being like. I don't care what you fucking do. You can go out there and kill yourself. At least that's how I feel. He's probably I have the power to let you die in the ocean right now. And I would like to see you fucking try to die in the ocean right now. Mm-hmm.
I think maybe because you knew
what was going to happen.
That's how you saw it. Because I didn't know. Yeah, if you're renting out a Sea-Doo to somebody, you're like, yeah, put your life jacket on, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
As soon as he didn't put his life jacket on, I'm like, oh, okay, you're stupid.
Gonna die. I'll get there in a second. So then Sean goes and is like putting on his stuff to go ride, and Ellie's like, Sean, we need to talk. And Sean's like, no, we don't need to talk. I don't want to talk to anybody.
And Ellie's like, okay, but like his version of the story was different than yours. And Sean's like, wait, you think I'm a liar? You taking his side? She's like, whoa, no, just wanted to fucking clarify.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that I'm not dating a psychopath.
Yeah.
And Sean's like, whoa, I can't. He tells her, like, you're not going to do this to me. Because he starts opening up about how badly he feels.
Yeah,
about
he starts
what
to talk.
To Rick.
He's like, oh, "Yeah, I felt Rick's blood on my hand. And I thought maybe I was peeing, but then I realized it was Rick's blood."
Yeah,
and I'm not going to talk about this with you.
You're not
going to make me talk. I don't know what my feelings are.
When I did, sorry, I'm keep plugging my TikTok, but
no, okay.
When I did my top five Degrassi moments, piss-centered Degrassi moments, mm-hmm. that one wasn't on the list. And somebody commented and was like, oh, you forgot one of the best ones. Sean saying, when I shot Rick, I thought I pissed myself. And I was like, that is a good one. It would have been low on the list because there wasn't any actual piss.
Right.
But that's a good one. Mm-hmm. but yeah, and then Sean goes out into the ocean without his life jacket. And starts just risking his life.
He's sea-doing around in circles.
Yes.
Just aggressively hitting waves.
Yes. And you know what's crazy? Without spoiling like too much of anything, this is something that I do not think we're going to ever watch. Or like, if we do watch it, we're not going to be like... It's not something that I'm like worried about spoiling for you.
Star Wars?
No. I mean, later in the series.
Oh, okay.
Ellie has a very similar moment to Sean right now.
Oh, really?
In Degrassi Goes Hollywood in season 8, Ellie has a very similar moment where she's also grieving and going through a really intense, like, emotional thing. And she just literally walks into the ocean and then she has to be saved. And then people pull her onto by Marco and someone else. And they have to pull her onto the...
And then she's like, I learned it from Sean.
Well, that's what I always... When we did our Ellie episode, I really was like, this is... These things are connected. She definitely was like, well, when Sean was feeling this way, he went into the ocean. And now I understand how he was feeling. Mm-hmm. And she watched, like, that was so interesting to see those two things happen. But yeah, without spoiling much of the character relationships. There. But like, yeah, I always thought that was so interesting that she was so scared when Sean did that now. Yeah.
The only thing you spoiled for me is that I know that Ellie and Marco both don't die between now and
right. That's I curated that perfectly. Good.
The other character is somebody who might die.
No, the other character is somebody who like you would be like, oh, this person and Ellie are close now.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's Alex.
then Sean nearly drowns in the ocean. He like falls off the jet ski.
He manages to like go over the handlebars and flip the jet ski so that it hits him in the head.
Yeah. And then he's like floating belly down in the water. And then everybody's like, oh my God, Sean
is
drowning.
Like clutching at his life jacket. Like,
he should have been wearing this.
He should have been wearing this. Why did I let him go out there?
And then Tyler sees and is like, fuck. And he has to go and save Sean and pull him out of the water. And everybody, and he pulls Sean to the shore. And then Ellie is standing there like a normal person. Jay is standing there like a normal person. Sean gets put onto the ground. Emma runs, comes to the front. Sean, wake up!
Sean!
And then he spits out some water and is like, whoa, what happened? And Ellie's like, Tyler just saved your fucking life, you fucking idiot.
And they share a brief moment of eye contact where Tyler's like, yeah, I forgive you.
Yeah.
And Sean's like, cool, bro.
I forgive you too. And then back at school, Manny is wearing the lowest jeans I've ever seen. Her whole vagina is out. Pretty Did you much. Notice?
Yeah, definitely.
I was like, oh my God. I can't imagine being a 15-year-old girl and waxing. Because like,
right.
Girl, like her jeans were so low anyway.
Yeah.
And full Mons pubis.
Yeah, for sure. And like, I gotta be honest, like, I don't think that's a good look even. Like,
no.
It's not like it's like, oh, okay, short, okay. It's well, like, whoa, I'm seeing folds that I shouldn't see.
Yeah, no, I think like in the early 2000s, because we valued thinness so much, the draw to low-rise jeans was how flat your stomach was.
Oh, I see.
So like when you're walking in low-rise jeans, there is, so like, you know how I have the little fat pooch between my vagina and my stomach. When you back in the early 2000s, the reason why you could wear low-rise jeans and like show that part off is because there is no fat pooch there.
Oh.
And so that's like why it's attractive, because there's no like that's because it's so flat from top to bottom.
And it's not for me, I guess.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, back then it was like hot. And that was the draw. But yeah, like her jeans are so fucking low. I'm like, how is your butt crack not fully out right now?
Probably was.
When
you saw the front.
Yeah. But she comes up behind JT. And JT is still like mad at her because they broke up. Mm-hmm. And she's like, JT. And he's like, mm-hmm. And she's like, I can't believe that you're being an asshole to Toby right now, essentially. And he's like, well, Toby was an asshole to me by being friends with someone else. She's like, I guess this just shows why we broke up. You couldn't be the bigger man.
Bigger. Keyword bigger.
And she full names him in this too. Mm-hmm. Is this the first time we've heard his full name?
No.
James Tiberius York. And then he goes, Tiberius is a family name. She walks away and she's like, you couldn't be the bigger man. And then you went, bigger. And then Danny goes, big. And then JT's like, don't say it. So then back at Wasega, Sean's just thinking. He's just looking out at the ocean and thinking.
He's like, look at all those waves I could still be in.
Yeah.
And dead in there.
And Emma is like, what are you thinking about? Or she's like, hey, Sean, what are you doing? And he's like, just thinking. And he apologizes for everything he did to her, which was last year, which was steal Snake's laptop.
Did you say Ellie or Emma?
Emma.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure.
And he's like, I stole Snake's laptop. I'm sorry about all of that. And then
he definitely didn't say that. He just said,
I'm sorry for everything. And yes, that's the implication.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Emma, and you know, I guess it's because he saved her life at this point, mm-hmm. but in I'm just like, girl, like this doesn't erase that he did that. She just goes, water under the bridge.
She said ancient history.
Ancient history. No, and I'm like, girly, you are so down bad right now.
Yeah.
She like Emma loves being saved. Yeah. She's like, oh, he saved my life. And now I need him. I need him so bad.
You know what is interesting is in that first thing, first part of this episode when he's interviewed by the thing and by the reporter, and we're like, oh, look at all these blonde girls looking at him.
Like Emma's blonde the blonde girl. It's the one that he. Wow, that's cute.
Yeah.
I'm an Ellie Sean girly till I die. But mm-hmm. yeah, that is now that you, yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting.
Cinematography.
She's like, she then tells Sean, like, oh, should we get out of here? And then he's like, we have somewhere to go first. And you went, yeah, go apologize to your mom, little bitch.
I didn't say little bitch.
That was the implication.
What I actually said was, go apologize to mama.
No, you didn't say that either.
What did I say?
You said, yeah, go apologize to your mom.
Oh, okay.
And so then they go back to his parents' house and his mom opens the door and she's hesitant to speak to him. And then he's hesitant to speak to her. And then his dad comes up behind his mom and he's like, how long till the cops get here? And then Sean starts to leave and she's like, don't listen to him. He didn't mean it. Because dads will always be like that. And she chases after Sean and she's like, I need you to know that I didn't lie to the reporters. That was all honest. And I really was worried about you. And sending you to Toronto was the best thing that we could have ever done. Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't because we didn't love you. It's because we loved you that we mm-hmm. sent you away.
How else was I going to keep you out of jail?
And they reconnect. Sean finally opens up to them, which I think is really sweet. Like, he took him forever to open up at all. And now it's to the people that we thought that he had the biggest beef with. Beef mm-hmm. is the wrong word for parents, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's pork.
Yeah,
he's like,
did you say it's pork?
Yeah. We can cut that out. you can leave it in, whatever. Not a good joke. But he's like, the boy, the gun, and I grabbed it, and he died, and I think I killed him.
No, you killed him.
Yeah, you for sure did.
Well, like, I think, because, like, nobody knows who pulled the trigger, right? Rick is holding the gun.
Mm-hmm.
So I always assume that Rick's finger was on the trigger, but because mm-hmm. it was going between the two boys, like, if it weren't between the two of them, Rick wouldn't have died.
Right.
So that, yeah, effectively in that way, Sean did kill him, but I do believe Rick's hand was probably on the trigger.
Yeah, for sure. No, and it wouldn't make sense it's useless to do that on a podcast. But
right.
from the position that Rick had it, it would have been a lot of work for Sean to get the gun, get his finger on the trigger, and then shoot it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's definitely Rick's finger on the trigger.
But if Sean hadn't intervened, then Rick would have probably lived. So
sure.
Unless he killed
Emma
himself.
Would have died.
And Emma would have died.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah. And so he cries and then he hugs his mommy And then
and his dad comes in and hugs him too. And it's says, really Don't sweet. Don't worry, moment. Buddy. I got you.
Yeah, you're home now. I got you. Mm-hmm. And the Camerons have a nice little moment. Mm-hmm. And so then we go to Rick's funeral, where Toby and Manny show up. I love how Manny is just wearing like a black like
tracksuit.
She's like, okay, well, I'm not gonna dress up for this. what do I have? A black like juicy couture sweat jacket.
Yeah.
And it's got like racing checkers on the side. And Toby and they show up, and Rick's mom is obviously, you know, having a hard time. And Toby's like, I can't do this. And Manny's like, it's okay. We don't have to do this. But then Rick's mom turns around. It's like, Toby. And then she comes. There's so much quaking speaking this episode.
Yeah.
Like lots of women quaking and speaking.
Oh, you are such a good friend.
You were always such a good friend to my boy. And Toby's
I love
like,
that she just has a regular Canadian accent and we're doing like Italian.
No, she does have an accent.
Oh, does she?
Rick's parents are like Ukrainian or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she does have an accent. but she's like, you were always such a good friend. And Toby's
You're
like,
such a good boy.
You know. He's like, yeah, you know, it's whatever. And then JT shows up and Danny's there too, right?
No.
No, just JT.
Mm-hmm.
And then he comes up and he's like, I'm sorry what happened to your son, Mrs. Murray. And she's like, were you a friend of Rick's too? You look like a nerd.
And JT, instead of being like, yeah, okay, I guess, is like, it was a tragedy.
Yeah.
No, which is right. Which is
honest.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
it's he's like, I can't say that, but I can say that it sucks.
Yeah. I can tell you, like, I can acknowledge that you're grieving.
Yeah.
Which is that's why I really like this episode. And I like this plot so much because to this day, I still feel like it's divisive where people are still like, what is right and what is wrong? Which I think that the show did a really good job of showing all of the intricacies and nuances of the situation.
Totally.
Because it's like, if somebody bad dies, that's the world might be better off, sure. Mm-hmm. But they still had people who loved them.
Yeah.
And there's it is important to acknowledge pain. Their grief. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so she hugs JT and JT's like,
And then she goes back over there and I'm like, okay, Manny also showed up.
Yeah. Well, Manny is not a nerd. She's a slut. So Rick's mom was probably like, oh, these nerdy boys were probably my son's friend. And this girl probably tried to seduce him at some point.
There's no way this is like the girl he pointed a gun at's best friend.
Yeah.
Who's doing like a huge thing by being here.
Yeah. Hmm. And so then JT looks at Toby and he says, I'm sorry to Toby.
Not
right?
really.
No, he says, I'm sorry in a grief way. Like he tells him like, sorry that for like, not sorry for your loss, but that's like what he does say. I'm sorry.
I remember him just being like, I mean, I liked him, but it was a tragedy or something like that. But maybe that's
sure.
just what he said before. Too.
No. Yeah. Something like that. But like he acknowledges to Toby that like, yeah, like, you cared about him, so I should care about you.
Oh yeah, he says I may not have cared about him, but it was a tragedy.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, this moment is
it's for them.
Yeah.
And it's really sweet.
Yeah.
And
it was all over Manny's shoulder.
Yeah. Because she is being a good fucking friend. Manny is so good.
Manny's the best.
She's so good. And then Sean, we're back in Wasega and Sean goes up to Ellie, who's standing on Jay's car, and she's like, all right, time to go. And he's like, well, actually. And Ellie has a weird sixth sense because she can just tell from looking at him. She's like, you're staying.
Well, he says, I don't know how to tell you this.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know how to tell you this. She's like, you're staying, aren't you? And he's like, yeah. And then Jay overhears and he's like, okay, that can't be what I just heard. Dude, we gotta go.
He's like, get in the car, Cameron. And he's like, no, man.
First time in my life, I need to be here with my parents, is what he says.
Mm-hmm.
I have it in my notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were like, why is he telling Jay this? Why isn't he saying this to Ellie?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Because Ellie's over there trying to like beg him to come with them. She's like, no, please, I need you. I love you. And Sean's like, I love you too. But like, and then Jay is like, hey man, what's up? And Sean's like, I need to be here.
Yeah. I don't know. I get that. Like, there's some closure with Jay needed there. Mm-hmm. I get that. But really, like,
the girl that you are in love with and live with.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's now going to have to live on her own while dealing with all this grief.
Yeah.
It's a selfish move, Cameron.
I mean, okay. I'm selfish not saying, is not the word. I don't think selfish is the word.
I think it is. And I don't think that it's wrong. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to be selfish and take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's wrong. But definitely it is like a, sorry, Ellie, you're on your own.
Yeah. Well, like, Ellie also has parents. A parent.
Does she?
Yes.
I mean, she actually has an alcoholic mom.
Yes.
Which, not to say that that means she doesn't have a mom, but like, that's a tough...
Yeah, it's going to be tough for her.
She has people she can stay with, you're right.
Yes.
But like, yeah, I don't know.
Like, yeah, like, I do think, yes, I think Sean is in the right to be selfish right now.
Totally, totally. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the choice, but it is a selfish choice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So then Ellie is really, really sad that Sean is staying. And so she like angrily gets in the car and she's like, she asks Sean, like, you'll be back, right? And he's like, I don't know. When I'll be back.
Yeah, she says, when will you be back? And he's like, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then she says bye to Sean. She gets in the car. Jay says bye to Sean. He gets in the car. Emma says nothing. She just looks at him longingly.
Just looks. She's the one looking out the car window back at him.
Yeah. As if she was his girlfriend. Yeah, I'm obsessed. I think that's so funny.
Yeah. It's very funny.
Emma is this. And then like there's another episode this season that's just... I love Emma in season 4. I think she's so chaotic. But yeah, and then Sean looks at the car driving away and he's crying, and then it freeze frames on Sean. Mm-hmm. And that's the episode.
That it is.
Yeah, I love this episode. Like I said, it's so entertaining. It says a lot. We learn so much from it. Like, we learn like everything about Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it ends on something that's actually like plot changing and relevant, and something that we're gonna have to like be like, oh, when is Sean gonna be back?
Mm-hmm.
Is
Sean gonna be back? I mean, right. We know he is because you know he is, but yeah,
do
it's
I?
Like, yeah, but
how
it's
do,
like,
how do you know I know he's gonna be back? You know, I know if he's gonna be back.
I believe I've heard you talk about him in the future, but I could be wrong.
Maybe.
It doesn't matter. The point is, that's what the show is asking.
Mm-hmm.
Is he ever coming back?
Right. Yeah. Right. And fun fact, Daniel Kelly plays Owen in the later season. Mm. Daniel Clark, who plays Sean, he didn't know if he would be back either. Mm. This was a Terry situation where he effectively got like the boot.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, I will say it's not like a few episodes thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was like, I didn't talk. No one talked to me about this.
That's wild.
Yeah. But yeah. And then, so what did you think about it?
Well, I mean, I thought it got off to kind of a rocky start. There was a lot of like bad acting and weird. I don't know. There was just things where I was like, oh no, are they going to botch this? But then they really didn't. I thought it was a great continuation of the previous episode, which I thought handled a tricky situation really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And this showed like that the show still has a handle on that type of thing. That's what the show does well is dealing with the complexities of tricky situations in high school, right? That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, obviously I always look for a little bit more humor.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really have that.
There was a little bit of humor.
There were moments, but I just mean we're not going to get like wacky JT in an episode about the aftermath of a school shooting, which is good.
Right.
So
we did get a dick joke.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. No, yeah, totally. Totally. And that's great. And I like that. Yeah, so I would say like my overall take is it handled its shit well, and that's good.
Where do you think this plot is going to go?
Well, I mean, it sounds like we're not going to see
At least for a few episodes, we're not going to see Sean.
Yeah, we're not going to see Sean for a bit. But I think we'll still deal with, like, Toby. Aftermath of Toby is still, like, definitely something that's relevant and on the table.
Okay.
JT and him reconciling. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of Manny and Toby. That could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see the Jew get the girl.
That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. and it would be a hard thing for JT to over to get over, actually. So mm-hmm. maybe
not.
Maybe, well, I don't know.
Maybe we don't want this.
Would I rather see the Jew get the girl or the friends reunite? Mm-hmm. Gotta pull for my people.
So you think you don't deserve friends is what you're saying?
What? How did you get that?
Because you said, would you rather see the Jew get the girl or would you rather see the friends reunite? And so then you chose the girl, right?
Yeah.
So then you're like, okay, well, Toby's not going to have friends, but he is going to have a hot girlfriend.
I mean, he can make more friends.
Who? Who is going to be Toby's friend? The last friend he made was a school shooter.
You're right, yeah. But he can make really good friends with Manny's left boob and Manny's right boob. No, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I'll stick with you get the girl, but hopefully JT can get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, Toby can make friends with some, like, grade nines or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
you also guessed a few episodes ago that Darcy and Toby were going to be a thing.
Hey, I'm just pulling for my people, you know? It's just, yeah. I'm trying to get his dick wet. That's
yeah,
all.
I understand.
I don't think I've used that expression in a long, long time.
It's a good expression.
It's solid. and then, yeah, I mean, I think Ellie and Emma, it sounds like just from what you were saying earlier, they're not going to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they could either be at odds about Sean or that just doesn't come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think we still have to see how Jay, Alex, and Spinner get theirs,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there's going to be a comeuppance for all that. At
yeah,
some point.
That was something we didn't really touch on, was that Alex is like, I need to talk to Radich about what happened.
Yeah.
And Jay's like, no, you're not.
Well, he's like, don't talk about the thing, though.
Right.
Like, talk about how you're feeling, but don't talk about the thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, obviously she's going to talk about the thing.
Right, right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I know that you really like Alex, so I feel like Alex comes out of it all
mm-hmm.
in a more positive light, and probably Jay does not.
Mm-hmm.
Spinner probably comes out okay because he's Spinner.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think that's... And obviously, eventually, we'll find out what happened to Jimmy.
There is a moment in this season that is iconic. Okay. I wouldn't say it's as iconic as, say, Jimmy getting shot or mm-hmm. Manny and her thong,
mm-hmm.
but it's pretty iconic.
Okay.
It's a pretty iconic plot line, and I don't remember exactly when it shows up, but I'm excited mm-hmm. for it.
I have absolutely no idea what it could be, because the whale tail and the Jimmy getting paralyzed things... did get spoiled for me a little bit, but there's nothing else that has been.
Yeah. Yeah. This is something that's like a bit more under, it's like not as like talked about, but it is for the, I would say like Whale Tail and Jimmy getting shot are things that not Degrassi fans would know.
Mm-hmm.
People who didn't really love Degrassi,
mm-hmm.
they would be like, oh, but I know these two things.
Mm-hmm.
But this plot line is something that I think the fans really love and talk about a lot. So I think that's maybe where the difference is. Like, people aren't going to be, like, talking about it who aren't, like, fans of the show.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, I'm excited for it to happen, and I'm excited to see when the episode comes up. I'll find out. What would you rate this episode?
I'm going to give this episode 4 out of 5 busted ancient monitors.
Okay.
Thrown from the... van of a reporter.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna give this episode, I think, I feel like I liked it more than you, but yeah, I also don't feel like it's a 4.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can put mine down.
No, I think I'll just go with 4.
Mm.
I'm gonna give it 4 out of 5. I could go, there are so many options. I was going to say water bikes. I was going to say sand people buried in the sand. Mm. I was going to say maybe hearing aids because we see Tyler has a hearing aid. I think I will go 4 out of 5 jet skis, water bikes.
Yeah, I think your 4 is more like, it's like almost 4.5, and my 4 is almost 3.5.
Sure, yeah.
It's like a 4- and a 4+.
Sure, yeah. So, all right. Our next episode is season 4, episode 10, Neutron Dance. And this is one of those ones where you will not be able to guess anything about the plot based on the name.
Okay.
Our main player is Paige. Our B plot main player is Craig. And the hint that I will give is that it is a welcome break from the heavy.
Okay. Neutron Dance.
And I will say that the title leans more to the B plot than the A plot.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I think that, so I think it all starts in science class. Paige is in science class and she's having a hard time understanding the cell. So she calls, a friend of hers at another school.
Okay.
And, the friend at the other school is like, well, why don't you come over to my school and let my teacher have a shot at teaching you a little bit about the cell. And then, so she goes to this other school and the other teacher turns out to be Miss Frizzle. They get in the bus, they get shrunk down, they go inside of a cell, and she really gets an understanding of how like neutrons and protons interact.
Okay. So it's just an episode of the Magic School Bus.
Yes.
Featuring Lauren Collins of Degrassi.
That's right. Meanwhile, obviously Craig is involved somehow.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, Paige is the B plot and Craig is the A plot. When I read the summary on the other website, it was swapped.
Oh, okay.
But, like, that doesn't really matter.
Okay, yeah, so that's the B plot.
So then, yeah, the title of the episode leans more to the A plot then.
Okay, so that's the B plot, and the title of the episode leans more towards the A plot. So the A plot is that... So it has to be more neutron focused than shrinking down and going inside of a cell. Okay. So the A plot is Craig is disassociating because of what happened. And we go. We have an episode of Magic School Bus happening for Paige. Okay. And for Craig, we have an episode of Craig is disassociating and he also leaves school, but he doesn't have a friend at another school he can just go to, but he does take a bus all the way to Seattle. Okay. Where he stumbles upon the science lab of Bill Nye the Science Guy.
Okay.
And Bill Nye the Science Guy, as everybody knows, is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And he and Craig would get along great, I think.
I agree.
And they do. And Bill Nye teaches him how cells work by giving an analogy of like a school dance. You know, like the protons are in the center of the dance floor, dance in there. Mm-hmm. They're like the girls, you know, and the neutrons. Mm-hmm. Well, they're the wallflowers. They're hanging out on the wall.
Okay.
And so it's a lesson on cell biology.
Okay. And as well. Does Ms. Hatzilakos feature in this at all since she is the science
teacher?
She's
fucking Bill Nye.
She's fucking Bill Nye, yeah. Or she is Bill Nye?
No, she's fucking Bill Nye.
Love that for him.
Me too.
Love that for her, actually. Bill Nye, kind of hot.
Bill Nye in his prime?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Neil deGrasse Tyson watches in the corner.
That does sound like him.
Yeah. Do you have any other guesses? I would say lean away from the science part of it.
I'm sure I'm right. But I guess I can make another guess. I think we're going to deal with Craig and his love life a bit.
Okay.
There's going to be, the band's going to be involved. Oh, no, because Jimmy's gone. Maybe there's like a little bit of like, how are we gonna have band practice without Jimmy? No, I don't think so, because you said we'd get away from the heavy stuff, so we're probably not dealing with Jimmy at all.
Okay.
Yeah, so we deal with Craig's love life somehow. God, it's really hard with the thing just not being relevant. The title not being relevant.
It's
hard
to come up with anything good. Super relevant. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay.
Like the dance element is probably the more relevant part.
Right, I figured, but I'm having a hard time with. Okay, maybe, yeah, okay. Craig decides to try a solo music career.
Okay.
He you know, he's been a guitar player, but maybe he could be a DJ.
he gets lessons from Chris.
Yeah, exactly. Who I definitely remembered exists.
Mm-hmm.
And the B-plot, Paige is working at the movie theater, and she sees somebody who she thinks might be a celebrity, but she's not sure. So then she has to, like, do some hijinks to find out.
Okay, so that is your real guess.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so sorry.
I mean, I didn't have it much to work with.
So yeah, I'm sorry.
I had to do a lot of inventing there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm excited for you to find out if your prediction was correct.
And it's not.
Based on season four, episode nine of Degrassi the Next Generation, Back in Black, are you a Degrassi fan?
Well, you know, I think it's another episode that did what it does well and was engaging in doing it. I would say I enjoyed watching the episode. I still don't feel like I want to ever watch this without you, but yeah, I would say this pushed it more in the right direction.
Cool. You have any questions for me?
Yeah. Having watched this entire episode while I was fully Winnie the Pooh-ing, I guess that's not really true.
But it was not true at all. You just lied.
Yeah. I don't know.
We've done so many episodes with your dick out, and this wasn't one of them.
Having had to watch this episode without my dick out, do you still love me?
Yes, of course. Do you want to keep that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right.
To be clear, though, I wasn't lying. I was expanding on the meaning of Winnie the Pooh, because I am wearing boxers and a sweatshirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
No pants, baby.
No pants, baby. Okay. All right. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be doing one of these next week or a character analysis. I'll find out.
Okay.
I think since the character analysis with Daniel, we're at his favorite character. If not his favorite character, but his favorite character to talk about. So Riley Stavros. So I think I might have to do a character analysis next week, and then we will find out if your predictions about Neutron Dance are correct. But until then, where can the people find you on social media, honey?
Oh, I'm at Ezra Partier on Instagram. And my stuff that you should follow is at Daily Misinformer on all the things, at Public Breakup on all the things. We're posting a bunch of sketches these days. We used to not. Now we do. So please follow.
Follow them on TikTok.
TikTok, please. Instagram, please. Headbutt is off for the rest of the year at UCB, but we'll be back in January.
Woo! Yeah, you can follow me at OMG It's Key on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow the podcast at Cuckoo Bananas Podcast on Instagram. And you can email us at cuckoobananaspodcast@gmail.com.
And I'm going to lie one more time and say we'll read it on the air if you email.
Yeah, yeah. All righty. Well, this was fun.
It was.
I'm excited to be back. I love recording, and I love watching Degrassi.
And I love you.
I love you, too. Okay. Thank you guys for listening. We love you, too.
Oh, yeah. We love you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.